Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Are you ready to die? God forbid that it should ever happen. But if you were in a car accident today and your life was taken, would you be ready to leave this life and stand before the bar of Almighty God? Have you lived your life in such a way that you can know and have the surety that if your life ends right now, you're ready to be with the Father? Or are there things in your life that you know you've not taken care of? Things that you know right now would keep you from spending eternity with God? Today we're going to think about this question, are you ready to die? And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about death and how that we can be ready and how that death doesn't have to be a black and a dark thing, but it can maybe be a blessing to the Christian if he lives his life properly. One of the things we note about death from the Bible is that it is inevitable. Death is not something you can get out of. Every one of us will have to face death sometime in our life. The psalmist reminded us in Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12, that we've been promised maybe 70, 80 years. Anything beyond that, we're just living on borrowed time. I'm reminded of a man in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21, who was definitely not ready to die. Here's a man who had a great crop year. And he began to talk to himself and he said, "Soul, you've got many goods laid up for many years." He just basically said, "Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this night will your soul be required of you. Then whose things will those be whom you've acquired?" And the Bible says, "So is he who is rich, but not toward God." Here was a man who was prepared for a life. He had an abundance of things for the here and now, but he was foolish in the fact that he was not ready to die. He left out the most important preparation, preparing for eternity. Hebrews chapter 9 reminds us of the brevity of life and how that we will all face it. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we are told that it is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. As the Hebrew writer illustrates for us, there are two things we can be sure of. I'm going to stand before God on the judgment after I die. Those are things we cannot get out of. Those are things that we have, reservations we definitely have in this life. You know, the problem is a lot of us are like Woody Allen. Woody Allen made this statement. He said, "It's not that I'm afraid of dying." He said, "I just don't want to be there when it happens." Friends, we are going to be there when it happens. And death is inevitable. All of us one day having a divine appointment with death. As we think about the inevitability of death, we need to know that our life here is very, very brief. It's fleeting. It's not something that's going to last forever. You know, sometimes, and especially as young people, we live our life as though it's going to last forever. But that's not the case at all. Life is going to be very, very short in view of how long eternity is. Think about what James said. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, James asked the question, "What is your life?" And he says, "It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away." That idea of vapor, the Greek word there is the idea of a mist. It's like the morning dew. It's like a vapor that you smell and then all of a sudden it's gone. That's what our life is like. It's fast and it's fleeting. And although sometimes we think we're going to live forever, that's not the case at all. Job was reminded of the brevity of life. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, Job said, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." In Job chapter 7 and verse 6, and Job chapter 9 verse 25, Job used two illustrations to describe how fast life is. In one illustration, he describes it as a weaver's shuttle, part of a mechanism for sewing that moves very, very quickly. In another illustration, he describes it as a runner running a race. Imagine a sprinter as he's sprinting down the 100-yard line. And just how fast he passes by. That's what life is going to be like for us. Some people in this life live too long. Some people live just long enough to die outside of Christ. Some people in this life sadly die too soon. Some die before obeying the gospel. We need to make sure that since life is short, that we get ready for eternity. You know, that's the real purpose of life. What's life all about? Why are we here? This life is my one and only chance to make sure that I make it right with God and that I'm prepared for eternity. American writer William Sororian telephoned into the Associated Press this final, very Sororian-like statement. He said these words. He said, "Everybody has got to die, but I have always believed that an exception would be made in my case. Now what?" Do we sometimes live our life like this man? Oh, we probably have in the back of our mind that someday, a long time from now, we're going to die, but, you know, and it might just be made an exception in our case. Do we really think about death? You know, as we think about the inevitability of death, we need to know that sin is the cause of our death. In Genesis chapter 3, when we come to that sad scene where Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they're told in that context, verses 1 through 17, that they died because of their own sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 makes this point very clear. Sin entered in because of death. We've all sinned. Just as the doors of sin were opened up through one man, Adam, all died because of their own sin, Romans 5, verse 12 says. And so from this principle, I learned that because of sin, man was caused to die. You know, there's a very valid principle here, and it's this. When death plagues our life, when we have friends and loved ones who die, when someone closest to me gets sick and dies, I don't need to look up to heaven and say, "God, why did you allow this to happen?" Because God is not the cause of our death. Sin is the cause of death. As it began in the garden, so people die today because of sin and its continuation in men's lives. Now, we can live beyond that sin eternally with God. We learn that principle. But we don't need to blame God and have a vengeance in our heart toward Him. I know people who maybe because of a child dying or because of a loved one very close to them are very bitter in their heart and say, "God, why did you allow this to happen?" Remember, God's not the cause of death. And in reality, death can be a good thing if a person is in a saved condition. As we think about death, we need to know that the way we live our life is going to determine if our death is a time of great rejoicing or if our death is a time of great sorrow. Will it be a time of rejoicing like in the Apostle Paul's life when he said in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul knew that he had lived his life in such a way that if he died, that was a good thing. He was happy. He wanted to go and be with the Lord, Philippians 1 verse 20 says. Or will it be a time of great sorrow? Luke 16 is a setting of one of these times of great sorrow. Two men follow verses 19. A rich man we have introduced to us, and Lazarus, a beggar. The rich man had all the blessings in this life, yet he was not ready for eternity. And a sad commentary is when the Bible says the rich man died and he awoke in torments. Now we know that Lazarus died and he was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Don't you know that the rich man's death was a time of great sorrow, a time of deep mourning, because not only did this man leave this life, but he left it in an unprepared state. Ask yourself, if you were to die right now, would your death be a time of great rejoicing because you've obeyed the gospel, because you've prepared your life to live with God and death is only a benefit for you? Or would it be a great time of sorrow because you're not ready to leave this life? Revelation 2 verse 10 teaches us, "Be faithful unto death, and then and only then can we know that we're right and they're ready to go and be with the Lord." But as we think about death, not only is death inevitable, but there are great benefits to death in this life. Now, a lot of people in our world, they think about death as something bad. They think of it in a dark way, in a sad and gloomy way. But actually, there are real benefits to death in this life. For example, death can end a person's suffering and pain. For example, imagine a person is a Christian and they've lived faithful to the Lord all their life. Toward the latter years of their life, they develop cancer. Say maybe that it's pancreatic cancer, and it's not curable, it's not treatable. And knowing that person is a Christian, and then that person dies from that pancreatic cancer, is that really a bad thing? Friends, absolutely not. That person who was a faithful child of God, who caught the dreaded disease of cancer and died from it, That's probably the best thing that could have ever happened to that person, because knowing they're a faithful child of God, we can know that they're in heaven, living with God for all eternity. Maybe someone who was in a car wreck. They lived all their life as a Christian, lived faithful to the Lord. They were always serving Him, volunteering in the kingdom, doing everything they could, and they suddenly died in a car wreck. Was that the worst thing that could happen to them? Absolutely not. I think of the words of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Listen to these words. The Bible says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." This beautiful passage teaches us about how that heaven is going to be a place where we don't have the sorrow and the pain and the suffering that now exists. For someone to die in Christ, that is a wonderful benefit to them. There's another benefit to death, and it's this. Knowing that I'm going to die helps me to prepare for eternity. A proper view of death will give us a proper view of life. There's a passage I often think of in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. The Bible there tells us that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. What is the wise writer of Ecclesiastes trying to say? Better to go to the house of mourning. The house of mourning, that illustrates to us that sometimes it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. Why? Because a funeral, a death, is going to be the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. The last time you went to a funeral, were you reminded that one day I'm going to be in this very place, and one day people are going to be gathered around my casket, remembering my life? Remembering death helps us to prepare for this life. It's not a bad thing. The Bible teaches us we ought to be preparing now. Our whole purpose in life, Isaiah 43, verse 7, says that everyone who is called by God's name, they've been created for His glory. As I view life, knowing that one day I'm going to die, it helps me to live my life for the right reason. I'm not living about me. I'm not living for lust and pleasure. I'm living my life in such a way that when I die, I can be with the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon has sought for every purpose in life. He's looked for the real meaning of life. And he said, let's hear the conclusion. What's life all about? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. I'm here to fear God and keep His commandments. Amos 4, verse 12 teaches us we've got to prepare to meet our Maker. The only way you'll be ready to die is if you make sure to study the Bible and live your life according to it. Are you ready to die? Are you a child of God? If not, you can become one today. We want nothing more for you than for you to go to heaven. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe so much that you're willing to repent and change your life. Confess Him as the Savior. And as they were told in Acts 2, verse 38, you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And friend, we're begging you today that if your life is not right, get it right with the gospel of Christ and be ready to die and go home with the Lord.